Hey, everybody. We are so glad you're here with us. Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick Warren continues with an inspiring new series called What Does It Really Mean to Follow Jesus? Now, in this powerful teaching, Rick dives into God's Word to explore how we grow spiritually, represent Christ in the world, and find our place in God's family through the church. It's a fresh look at discipleship, purpose, and the life-changing power of spiritual community. Okay, and now, the final part of a message called We Are Disciples.
Jesus had a plan, and that pathway was teaching his disciples first to know him, and then to love him, and then to grow in him, and then to serve him, and then to share him. Now, what I just shared with you, that one sentence, is the whole philosophy behind Saddleback Church. Everything in this church helps people move through those five stages, those five purposes. First, to know Christ. Then we want you, once you know him, then you can love him, because you can't love him until you know him. And then you learn to love his family. And then you start growing in Christ. And then you start serving Christ. And then you start sharing Christ. It's like a baby. A baby has to learn to breathe. Then it learns to eat. Then it learns to walk. And then it learns to talk. We all grow at different stages and grades, but every one of us went through those exact same physical stages. And there are spiritual stages in spiritual growth too. Now, to help you visualize this, we use a baseball diamond. If you've been in class 101, you remember the baseball diamond. And each base represents a different stage of growth. First base, knowing Christ and loving Christ, being committed to him and his family. Second base, growing in Christ. Third base, serving Christ. Home plate, sharing Christ. And we say, we want you to cover all the bases. We want you to be a grand slam disciple. You don't get credit for runners left on base. Now, this idea that I'm sharing with you, helping people grow systematically, is not new. For 2,000 years, churches have been doing this. It's called a catechism. Anybody heard of that one? You know what a catechism is? Catechism is just in Catholic Church. All churches have used catechisms. You learn this, then you learn this, then you learn this, then you learn this. And for 2,000 years, people have been going through a growing process. You need a pathway to grow. But there's something else you need, and this is really important if you're going to continue growing the rest of your life. If you don't get anything else I say, I want you to get this. If you want to grow, you must develop good habits. Would you write that down? Spiritual growth is a matter of good habits. Every area of your life is determined, controlled by the habits. If you want to be in good physical health, you've got to develop some good physical health habits. If you want to grow intellectually, you have to develop some intellectual habits about reading and listening and asking questions. If you want to develop a job skill, you're going to have to learn to do some habitual things. The difference between successful and unsuccessful people, successful people have habits that unsuccessful people are afraid to develop, are too lazy to develop. And in the Christian life, you are the sum total of your habits. You see, character is a matter of habit. It's something that you do habitually. For instance, you can't say you have the character quality of honesty unless it's your habit to always tell the truth. If you tell the truth 70% of the time, you're not honest. It's not a habit. It's not a character quality. You got to be honest. It has to be a habit in your life. If I say to my wife, honey, I have the character quality of faithfulness to you, and I will be faithful to you 28 days a month. Well, that doesn't work. Partial faithfulness is unfaithfulness, right? Does that make sense? You're not being faithful at all if you're faithful 90% of the time. No, I'm not faithful to my wife unless I am 100% faithful to her all the time. Now, that's true in every area. It's developing good habits. Now, throughout the centuries, for 2,000 years of the church, Christians have used these habits. Sometimes they're called spiritual disciplines. Sometimes they're called devotional practices. I don't care what you call them. We call them habits at Saddleback. It's stuff that you learn, like how to have a daily time with God, a quiet time. How to pray, that's a habit. How to read the Bible, that's a habit. How to be in a small group fellowship, that's a habit. How to tithe your money, that's a habit. The habit of solitude, silence, being quiet before God, the habit of fasting, the habit of journaling. There are hundreds of good habits. Some are more important than others. But they are the building blocks for growing to spiritual maturity. And notice the results of spiritual maturity. It says that when you have these habits and when you grow and you do what Jesus tells you to do, it says you will produce fruit, a lot of fruit. Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them. This is what we call radical discipleship. Radical devotion is I love God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. Radical fellowship is I'm as committed to you as I am to Jesus Christ. Radical discipleship is when I develop the habits to become more and more like Jesus every year of my life. Number five, the fifth qualification, to be a disciple of Jesus, I must serve others unselfishly. I've got to learn to serve others. And service is a very, very important part of your spiritual growth and your spiritual development. Because God says it's not all taken in, it's giving back. The Bible says if you want to be the most important person, you must take the last place and be the servant to everyone else. Now, that's about the most counterculture statement you can figure in America, because he says, if you want to be the most important person, you got to take the last place, be a servant to everybody else. God is saying that the kingdom of God values are the exact opposite of the world's values. The world's value says, it's all about me. We do it all for you. It's all about you. Have it your way. You deserve it. You got to look out for number one. The world says you are more important than anybody else. And that's a way to be miserable in life. God says give your life away. See, the world's value system says get everybody to serve you. And Jesus says, no, no, the real leadership is not dependent upon how many people serve you, but how many people you serve. He says the best leaders are those who are helping other people, not using the people to serve themselves. The world says live for yourself. God says give your life away. Now, why is this so important? Let me give you a little advice. The key to happiness in life is to find significance. Happiness does not last unless you find significance in life. And everybody wants their life to be significant. The problem is we look in all the wrong places for significance. Success does not give significance, because you can always find somebody who's more successful than you and you start feeling bad. You can be successful and it won't give you significance. A salary doesn't give you significance. You can make a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with making money, but you can make a lot of money, but it won't give you significance. I probably know a dozen billionaires. I can give their names and you'd know who they were. And they would tell you that money does several things. It makes life easier. It removes some worries. It can make you more comfortable. But money will never give you significance. And that's the key to happiness. And we get tired of things. And so that's why we have to redecorate. So significance doesn't come from salary. It doesn't come from success. It doesn't come from status, the little symbols on your car or on your shirt. It doesn't come from sex. It comes from service. Because God wired the universe that the only way your life takes on significance is you give it away. Why? God wants you to learn to be like him, unselfish. The most miserable people in life are self-centered. It's all about me. I'm living for me, my pleasure, my needs, my comfort. It's all about me. And that's the way to be a miserable person. The happiest people in life are those who give their lives away. They're serving others, whether they got money or not, doesn't matter. Their significance gives them their satisfaction, their meaning, their purpose, their value in life. So he says, give your life away. Now, who's our model for this? Jesus. Look at the next verse. Jesus said, for even I the Son of Man came here not to be served, but to serve others and give my life as a ransom for many. You might circle to serve and to give. He said, I came to serve and I came to give. That defines the Christian life. And the more you learn to serve and the more you learn to give, the happier you're going to be, the more fulfilled you're going to be. Because when you do that, God says, I found somebody who gets it. I'm going to pour blessing into their lives. Now, why is serving so important to spiritual growth? Because you can't just take in, you've got to exercise. And spiritual exercise is when you do something unselfish, when you serve others, when you minister to others. You can't just sit, soak, and sour. You can't just keep taking in. If your whole Christian life involves just going to church, listening, sitting down, taking notes, and going home, it ain't going to work. Impression without expression leads to depression. You have to exercise. Ministry is movement. As I said, you got to move it, move it. And if you do that, then you're going to grow. You know, if all you did was eat the right food, you wouldn't grow. You have to exercise too. It's not enough. Sometimes people, they just are spiritual feeders. And all they do is listen. And they come to church and they listen. And then they turn on the Christian radio and they listen. And they go to a Bible study and they listen. And you just start getting fatter and fatter, and you're eating more and more spiritual food and bigger till you're so big, we have to roll you down the aisle. And that's where we get the term, holy roller. If you don't move it, move it. If you don't have any exercise in your life, you will not grow spiritually. You got to develop some muscle. How? By serving. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to learn to be the servant of all. Now, there's another thing that this verse teaches, and that is you're never going to grow spiritually until you learn to sacrifice. Spiritual growth requires sacrifice. Why? Because it's all about love. And the essence of love is giving. It's the essence of love is sacrificing. If you've never had to sacrifice for anything, you don't know the deeper levels of love. You know, shallow love, but the deeper levels of love are the levels of sacrifice, losing your life to find it. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 16. If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Notice three definitions of sacrifice. First, he must deny himself. What does that mean? It means I say, God, I'm putting my agenda on the shelf and I'm going with your agenda. It's not my plan, it's your plan. It's not my purpose for my life, it's your purpose for my life. I'm going to deny myself, my plans for my life. I'm going to say, God, what did you put me on this earth to do? I want to go with your plan. That's denying yourself. That's sacrifice. Then it says, take up your cross. What does that mean? Take up your cross literally means be willing to sacrifice for good and for God, even if it means dying. Because the cross was an instrument of death. Only God can turn a negative into a positive. The cross is a symbol of torture. Now, today, we don't understand what it means to take up your cross because we think of these cute little crosses we wear on necklaces, you know, around our neck. And it's just a nice little pretty piece of jewelry. But the cross was a symbol of torture. It was a device for capital punishment, extremely cruel and excruciatingly painful, invented by the Romans. Today, the equivalent would be wearing an electric chair on a chain around your neck. People, what are you wearing an electric chain before? Because it'd be wearing a symbol of torture. But God took that and turned it into a positive. You know what a cross is? It is a minus sign crossed out. It's a negative turned into a plus. And that's what the cross does in your life. God takes the negatives in your life, the minuses, and he makes up for it with what Jesus did for you, and he turns your negative life into a positive life, into a plus. Now he says, take up your cross. That means be willing to die for Christ. You haven't been asked to do that in America, but all around the world, 137,000 Christians did that this last year in the world. gave their lives, They took up their cross because they were killed simply for believing in Jesus. Now, there's one more thing. Okay, Jesus saying, if I'm going to be a disciple, I've got to spend time with him. I've got to love him supremely. I've got to love all everybody else in the church. I've got to obey him continually. I've got to serve others unselfishly. Here's number six. To be a disciple, I must pass on the good news. I must pass on the good news. When I hear it, I'm supposed to tell somebody else about it. Matthew 4, verse 20. Jesus called out, come, be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and went with him. Now, what's he talking about here? One day, Jesus is walking down the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. Peter, James, John, and Andrew are brothers and cousins, and they're professional fishermen. Now, in those days, you didn't fish with a rod and reel. You fished with a net. So you throw the net out. They're on the shoreline mending their nets. Jesus is walking by, and he looks at him. He says, while he's walking by, come be my disciple, and I'll show you how to fish for people. What's he mean by that? I'll show you how to change lives. I'll show you how to get people into heaven. I'll show you how to bring people to me. I'll show you how to share the good news. You will be a fisher of men. He says, follow me, and I will teach you, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, the corollary of that is, if you're not fishing, you're not following. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? If you're not fishing, you're not following. If you're not telling it to somebody else, you are not being a disciple. You see, God expects you to pass it on. If I knew the cure for cancer and kept it a secret, they should put me in prison. It should be criminal to know the best news and not share it. If I knew the cure for AIDS and I didn't share it with anybody, that's criminal. I know something better than that, and you do too, how to have your past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. And God calls us to share it. Look at this verse on the screen. Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy was the disciple, the apprentice of Paul. And Paul says, Timothy, take the teachings that you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses and entrust them to reliable people. Who, these reliable people, will be able to teach others also. Now, leave that verse on the screen for a minute. Four generations in this verse. Paul says, I got the good news, Timothy, and I passed it on to you. Now, Timothy, you're to pass it on to other people who are reliable enough to pass it on to a fourth generation. You're going to go to heaven because somebody told you. And somebody told the somebody who told you. And somebody told the somebody who told the somebody who told you. Is the chain going to break with you? Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Christianity is always one generation away from annihilation. One generation away. If you don't tell somebody, who's going to be there? Jesus says to be a disciple, you must pass it on. Look at the next verse, Matthew 28. Therefore, he says, go and make disciples. Once you're one, he says, you're to go make others. You're a disciple. Now, go and make other disciples of all the nations. In Greek, that's ta ethne. We get the word ethnic from it, from the Greek word ethne, ethnic food and ethnic language, things like that. Go and make disciples of all ethnics, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's the Trinity. And teach these new disciples to do the same thing you do, to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want you to pray, Lord, help me to bring one person to Jesus this year. Not two, not 10, one. I want somebody to be in heaven because of you. And if you start praying about your friends who don't know the Lord, God will make it so easy. They'll come to Christ. And you can reach one person for Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple. We pass it on to somebody else. What happens? Look at this verse on the screen. If I do these six things that Jesus says to do, and I become a disciple, here's what happens. Jesus said, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, I don't want to be a baby believer. I don't want to be spiritually immature. I want to grow up. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. I want to spend more time with you, Jesus. I want to learn to talk to you like you're my best friend. I want to learn to love you supremely with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. I want to learn to love other disciples. I want to learn to love other Christians, the body of Christ. I want to be a part of this church family. I want to be in a small group where I can practice love. I want to do what you tell me to do. I want to continue in your teaching so that I can be set free from all of the hang-ups that hold me back, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, all the many things. I want to develop some spiritual muscle this year. I want to learn to serve you unselfishly. And I want to pass on the good news. Help me to find one person that I can bring to you, can become a part of your family and be in heaven because I shared with you. Lord, I can't do this on my own, but I ask you to do this. I make these six things my New Year's resolution. And with your help, I will keep them in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow Him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.